Hello, everyone. We are continuing on with Thomas Watson and the Ten Commandments. Last time we did the seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery, Exodus 20, verse 14. And Lord willing, this time we're going to continue on in the book here. And so we'll go ahead and start with the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal, Exodus 20, verse 15. As the holiness of God sets him against uncleanness in the command, thou shalt not commit adultery, so the justice of God sets him against rapine and robbery in the command, thou shalt not steal. The thing forbidden in this commandment is meddling with another man's property. The civil lawyers define stealth or theft to be the laying hands unjustly on that which is another's, or the invading another's right. For the overall point, number one, the causes of theft. Number one, the internal causes are unbelief. Number one, unbelief. A man has a high distrust of God's providence. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Psalm 78, verse 19. Can God spread a table for me? Says the unbeliever. No, he cannot, they say. Therefore, he is resolved he will spread a table for himself, but it shall be at other men's costs, and both first and second course shall be served with stolen goods. Number two, covetousness, another internal cause. The Greek word for covetousness signifies an immoderate desire of getting, which is the root of theft. A man covets more than his own, and this itch of covetousness makes him scratch what he can from another. Aiken's covetous humor made him steal the wedge of gold, a wedge which cleaved asunder his soul from God, Joshua 7:21. And those were the internal causes. Number two, the external cause of theft is Satan's solicitation. Judas was a thief, John 12:6. How came he to be a thief? Satan entered into him, John 13:27. The devil is the great master thief. He robbed us of our coat of innocence, and he persuades men to take up his trade. He tells men how bravely they shall live by thieving and how they may catch an estate. As Eve listened to the serpent's voice, so do they. As birds of prey, they live upon spoil and plunder. All right, that was the causes of theft. Overall point number two, the kinds of theft. Number one, there is stealing from God. They are thieves who rob God of any part of his day. Remember to keep holy the Sabbath day. Not a part of the day only, but the whole day must be dedicated to God. And lest any should forget this, the Lord has prefixed a memento, remember. Therefore, after morning sacrifice, to spend the other part of the Sabbath day in vanity and pleasure is spiritual theft. It robs God of his due, and the very heathen will rise up in judgment against such Christians. For the heathen, as Macrobius notes, observed a whole day to their false gods. Number two, there is stealing from others, a stealing away souls as heretics by robbing men of the truth, rob them of their souls, stealing money and goods as well. There is number one, the highway thief, who takes a purse contrary to the letter of the commandment, thou shalt not rob thy neighbor, Leviticus 19:13. Do not steal, Mark 10:19. This is not the violence which takes the kingdom of heaven by force, Matthew 11, verse 12. Number two, the house thief who purloins and filches out of his master's cash or steals his wares and drugs. The apostle says, some have entertained angels unawares, Hebrews 13, verse 2, but many masters have entertained thieves in their houses unawares. The house thief is a hypocrite as well as a thief, for he has demure looks and pretends to be helping his master when he only helps himself. Number three, the thief that shrouds himself under law as the unjust attorney or lawyer who prevaricates and deals falsely with his client. This is to steal from the client. By deceit and prevarication, the lawyer robs the client of his land and may be the means of ruining his family and is no better than a thief in God's account. Number four, the church thief or pluralist who holds several benefices but seldom or never preaches to the people. He gets the golden fleece but lets the flock starve. Woe be to the shepherds of Israel, Ezekiel 34, verse 2. They fed themselves and fed not the flock, verse 8. These ministers will be indicted for thieves at God's bar. Number five, the shop thief who steals in selling. He who uses false weights and measures steals from others what is their due, making an ephah small, Amos 8, verse 5. The ephah was a measure the Jews used in selling. Some made the ephah small and gave scant measure, which was plainly stealing. The balances of deceit are in his hand, Hosea 12, verse 7. By making their weights lighter, men make their accounts heavier. He steals in selling who puts excessive prices on his commodities. He takes three times as much for an article as it cost him or as it is worth. To overreach others in selling is to steal money from them. Thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him, Leviticus 19:13. To defraud him is to rob him. To overreach others in selling is a cunning way of stealing and is against both law and gospel. It is against the law of God. If thou sell aught to thy neighbor, ye shall not oppress one another, Leviticus 25:14. And it is against the gospel that no man go beyond and defraud his brother, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 6. Number six, the usurer who takes by extortion from others. He seems to help another by letting him have money in his necessity, but gets him into bonds and sucks out the very blood and marrow. I read of a woman whom Satan had bound, Luke 13:16, and truly he is almost in as bad a condition whom the usurer has bound. The usurer is a robber. A usurer once asked a prodigal when he would leave off spending. The prodigal replied, "I will leave off spending what is my own when you have left off stealing from others." Zacchaeus was an extortioner who, after his conversion, made restitution, Luke 19, verse 8. He thought all he got by extortion was theft. Number seven, the trustee who has the orphan's estate committed to him is deputed to be his guardian and manages his estate for him. If he curtails the estate and gets a fleece out of it for himself and wrongs the orphan, he is a thief. This is worse than taking a purse by violence, because he betrays his trust, which is the highest piece of treachery and injustice. Number eight, the borrower who borrows money from others with an intention never to pay them again. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, Psalm 37:21. What is it but thievery to take money and goods from others and not restore them again? The prophet Elisha bade the widow sell her oil and pay her debts and then live upon the rest, 2 Kings 4, verse 7. Number nine, the last sort of theft is the receiver of stolen goods. The receiver, if he be not the principal, yet is accessory to the theft, and the law makes him guilty. The thief steals the money, and the receiver holds the sack to put it in. The root would die if it were not watered, and thieving would cease if it were not encouraged by the receiver. I am apt to think that he who does not scruple to take stolen goods into his house, or debate within himself to do that, would as little scruple to have stolen them himself. Question, what are the aggravations of this sin? Number one, to steal when there is no need, to be a rich thief. Number two, to steal sacrilegiously, to devour things set apart to holy uses. It is a snare to the man who devoureth that which is holy, Proverbs 20, verse 25. Such a one was Dionysius, who robbed the temple and took away the silver vessels. Number three, to commit the sin of theft against checks of conscience and examples of God's justice, which, like the dye to the wool, dyes the sin of a crimson color. Number four, to rob the widow and orphan. Ye shall not afflict the widow or fatherless. This sin shrieks aloud. If they cry unto me, I will surely hear them Exodus 22, verse 23. Number 5, to rob the poor. How angry was David that the rich man should take away the poor man's lamb? As the Lord lives, he shall surely die. 2 Samuel 12, verse 5. What is enclosing of commons but robbing the poor? And that was the end of stealing from someone else. And number 3, there is a stealing from a man's self. A man may be a thief to himself. The question is, how so? And number 1, by niggardliness, N-I-G-G-A-R-D. The niggard is a thief. I believe that's some sort of spendthrift. He steals from himself in not allowing himself what is needful. He thinks that lost, which is bestowed upon himself, he robs himself of necessaries. A man to whom God has given riches, yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof, Ecclesiastes 6, verse 2. He gluts his chest and starves his belly. He is like the ass that is loaded with gold, but feeds upon thistles. He robs himself of what God allowed him. This is to be punished with riches, to have an estate and want or lack a heart to take the comfort of it. Number 2, a man may rob himself by foolishly wasting his estate. The prodigal lavishes gold out of the bag. He is like Crates or Crates, the philosopher, who threw his gold into the sea. The prodigal boils a great estate to nothing. He is a thief to himself who spends away that estate which might conduce to the comfort of life. Number 3, he is a thief to himself by idleness when he misspends his time. He who spends his hours in pleasure and vanity robs himself of that precious time which God has given him to work out salvation in. Time is a rich commodity because on well-spending present time, a happy eternity depends. He that spends his time idly and vainly or in useless things is a thief to himself. He robs himself of golden seasons and by consequence of salvation. Number 4, a man may be a thief to himself by suretyship. Be not thou one of them that are sureties for debts. Proverbs 22:26. The creditor comes upon the surety for debt, and so by paying another's debt, he is a thief to himself. Let not any man say he would have been counted unkind if he had not entered into a bond for his friend. Better your friend should count you unkind than all men count you unwise. Lend another what you can spare, nay, give him if he needs, but never be a surety. It is no wisdom for a man so to help another as to undo himself. It is to rob himself and his family. Use number 1, for confutation of the doctrine of community that all things are common and one man has a right to another's estate. This is confuted by Scripture. When thou comest into the standing corn of thy neighbor, thou shalt not move a sickle unto thy neighbor's corn. Deuteronomy 23:25. Property but must be respected. God has set this eighth commandment as a hedge about a man's estate, and this hedge cannot be broken without sin. If all things be common, there can be no theft, and so this commandment would be in vain. Use number 2, for reproof of such as live by stealing. Instead of living by faith, they live by their shifts. The apostle exhorts that every man eat his own bread, 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 12. The thief does not eat his own bread, but another's. If there be any who are guilty of this sin, let them labor to recover out of the snare of the devil by repentance, and let them show their repentance by restitution. Without restitution, no remission, said Augustine. If I have taken away anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold, Luke 19, verse 8. Ill-gotten things may be restored by one's own hand or by proxy. Better 1,000 times restore goods unlawfully gotten than stuff your pillow with thorns and have guilt trouble your conscience upon a deathbed. Use number 3, for exhortation to all to take heed of the sin of thieving, which is against the light of nature. Some may endeavor to excuse this sin. It is a coarse wool that will take no dye, and a bad sin that has no excuse. Someone will say, though, I am grown low in the world, and trading is bad, and I have no other way to a livelihood. The answer to that, number one, this shows great distrust in God, as if he could not provide for you without your sin. And number two, it shows sin to be at a great height, that because a man has grown low in the world, therefore he will knock at hell's door and go to the devil for a livelihood. Abraham would not have it said that the king of Sodom had made him rich, Genesis 14:22. Oh, let it never be said that the devil has made you rich. And number three, you ought not to undertake any action upon which you cannot pray for a blessing, but you cannot pray for a blessing upon stolen goods. Therefore, take heed of this sin. You gain materially, but your conscience suffers loss, said Augustine. Take heed of getting the world with the loss of heaven. In use number four, to dissuade all from this horrid sin, consider, number one, thieves are the caterpillars of the earth, enemies to civil society. Number two, God hates them. In the law, the cormorant was unclean because a thievish, devouring creature, a bird of prey, by which God showed his hatred of this sin, Leviticus 11, verse 17. Number three, the thief is a terror to himself. He is always in fear. There were they in great fear, is true of the thief, Psalm 53, verse 5. Guilt breeds fear. If he hears but the shaking of a tree, his heart shakes. It is said of Catiline, he was afraid of every noise. If a briar does but take hold of the thief's garment, he is afraid it is the officer to apprehend him, and fear has torment in it, 1 John 4, verse 18. Number four, the judgments that follow this sin. Achan the thief was stoned to death, Joshua 7:25. What seest thou? And I answered, a flying roll. This is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole earth. I will bring it forth, saith the Lord, and it shall enter into the house of the thief, Zechariah 5, verses 2 to 4. Fabius, a Roman censor, condemned his own son to die for theft. Thieves die with ignominy. The latter is their preferment, and there is a worse thing than death, for while they rob others of money, they rob themselves of salvation. In question, what is to be done to avoid stealing? Number one, live in a calling. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, Ephesians 4, 28, etc. The devil hires such as stand idle, I-D-L-E, and puts them to the pilfering trade. An idle person tempts the devil to tempt him. And number two, be content with the estate that God has given you. Be content with such things as ye have, Hebrews 13, verse 5. Theft is the daughter of avarice. Study contentment. Believe that condition best which God has carved out to you. He can bless the little meal in the barrel. We shall not need these things long. We shall carry nothing out of the world with us but our winding sheet. If we have but enough to bear out our charges to heaven, it is sufficient. Right, and that is the end of the eighth commandment. And Lord willing, we will plan to go on to the ninth commandment next time. But until then, go in a complete trust in God's providence to you. And Lord willing, we will talk to you again soon.